Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. I'm Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we're talking about something that until a few years ago, I didn't even know was something that wasn't pleasing to the Lord, and that is people-pleasing. Who knew? And that's kind of my default. You know, I kind of can slip into that once in a while, ladies. I don't know if that's you or not. Well, we're going to find out a little bit more about people-pleasing today, and our guest at the table is going to be Lori Williams. I tell you what, she's such a great guest. She's also a moderator over at our Google Plus community group. If you don't know what that is, go to naomistable.com and check out our online communities. And this one is just for ladies, though. But Lori's a great moderator there. She and Beth do a fabulous job. And I'll tell you what, we've been talking a lot about reaching the lost with the truth of the gospel. Now, how do you do that to the world when the world doesn't know him? In fact, the Bible says anybody who doesn't know God personally, intimately through Jesus Christ actually hates God. It's a strange thing to think that there are people who are nice, basically nice, you know, people who hate God. It's true.
Well, though, I think it's pretty obvious when you look at society's reaction to Christianity these days and any public display of Christianity, and it's downright hostile. And the reason why it's downright hostile is because Christianity in its purest form, which is true believers, not false converts, and Lori Williamson can tell you all about that, but true believers who are actually living out the image and likeness of Jesus Christ as they are being sanctified and conformed more and more into that likeness. Yeah. And that is a convicting image.
Well, let's bring in our guest, Lori Williams. Now, a couple days ago, I had a chance to sit down with Lori. She and her husband, Vince, have a ministry called Falsified Ministries. It's their story, their testimony about how for many years they were serving in their church and they thought they were good to go, but they were indeed false converts. And it wasn't until they heard some beautiful, wonderful teaching of the true gospel that they were saved, that they trusted in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation and not what they did. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to let Lori tell that story, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how people-pleasing really gets in the way of sharing the truth of the gospel and the hope that we have in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Here's that interview. Lori Williams, welcome back. So glad you could come back to the table with us.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here again.
Well, Lori, one of the things that you and I have talked about in the past is this idea of pleasing man, about pleasing other people, people-pleasing. And we've all done that. We've all wanted people to like us. It's a natural thing, isn't it?
Right. It's our old flesh. It's the human nature of you know, how we were before Christ. I mean, that's all we knew, was to live by the world's standards and to please man and those things like that. So it does. It comes very natural, and it's something that we just have to continually mortify as we are being sanctified.
And yet I see that Christians in the church today, we want Christ to be popular with other people who don't know him. And so I think what we tend to do is we try to make Christianity look really, really appealing. And, you know, so that we tend to not mention things like picking up our cross or confessing our sins or that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We tend to make it more like a lifestyle, don't we?
Right. And I think some people, whenever they get around people that they know that aren't Christians or whatever, it's almost like, well, I'm not going to bring up anything spiritual because I don't want to offend them, and I don't want to, you know, do this or that. I've got to be politically correct, and if I start using, you know, my Christian verbiage, they're not going to know what I'm talking about. And I think that's a trap that, you know, Satan just uses to put us in. I mean, I know certain dinner conversations where Vince and I have been out with other people, a big group or a setting like that, and we know that there's going to be unbelievers within the group, and we will purposely try to get the conversation into a spiritual topic just because that may be our only opportunity to have that conversation. But it is so easy to fall into that trap of, oh, you know, I don't want to upset, or we don't want to rock the boat at this event or upset the holiday or whatever it may be, trying to be, you know, politically correct and live by the worldly standard and just, you know, all get together and just get along and not ruffle any feathers. And, you know, obviously you're not going into it wanting to upset a person, but I think we should always be looking for those opportunities to share Christ and share what he's done in our lives.
Yeah. And I think there's that propensity also for us to want to convince other people, you know, I'm not like those other Christians over there who are so judgmental,
right,
and that kind of thing. And recently I was watching a clip from a gentleman by the name of Todd Friel. I know who, you know who he is. He's from Wretched Radio, ladies. Excellent video clips there. And he was showing a couple of clips of this kind of the compromising Christian. And there was one popular actress, I can't even remember who she is now, but she went on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And of course, we know Ellen is openly gay. She's a lesbian. And, you know, so we would say that Ellen would be a non-Christian, unrepentant person there. But so this actress went on and she said, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not that kind of Christian. We're not all like that. I'm the kind that's tolerant and loving and accepting. And yes, we do want to be loving, that is for sure. They were talking about how that's actually the right way to go. And Ellen said, I'm so glad you're that kind of a Christian. I think all of Christianity should be like that. And I think we tend to maybe not do it like that, but I think a lot of women are kind of feeling like they need to conform to that. What are your thoughts?
Well, just to address that first portion, we should never, there shouldn't be that type of Christian and this type of Christian. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We should never be trying to suppress down, you know, the whole tolerant, intolerant concept, because if you stand for Christ, you're going to be seen as intolerant, because the world does embrace homosexuality and it embraces abortion and all of these different topics when the Bible says something totally different. So if we stand for that and we are Christians and we stand for what the Bible says, we're going to be seen as intolerant. It's just a fact. I mean, you can label us a hater or whatever you want to call it, but in my opinion, the most, well, and I don't even like that phrase, my opinion, according to the Word of God, you know, the most unloving thing that we can do or the most intolerant thing that we could do is not share Christ to someone who is on their way to hell. I mean, I can't think of anything more unloving or, I mean, if we know the truth and we know what can save them from hell, and we don't tell them, or we suppress it, and we try and play both cards. We try and play both sides. I'm gonna do the things of the world, but I just love Jesus. I'm gonna claim Jesus, but you know, I'm gonna go over here and do this. You can't do that. You're lukewarm. You're in the middle, and you're trying to please both God and man, and that doesn't work. So you have to choose a side. You can't please both, and so that really grieves me just to hear that, you know, someone would even say, well, I'm not that kind of Christian, you know, that should never be. And so, you know, I think that just goes in hand with what you said, you know, in the second portion. You know, I would never cower down to the world in order to soften the blow of the gospel. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do that. You know, they don't want to, they want to share that Jesus is love and he's going to, you know, make your life better and just come to know him and it's going to be great and you're going to get to go to heaven. And that's what people are sharing. That's not the gospel. And so I think people really try to soften that blow of, you know, you're a sinner. You have grieved the holy God. You have broken all 10 commandments. So have I. You know what I mean? Like, you can't put yourself, you know, above that. You need to make sure you're showing, look, I was in the same boat and I grieved the Lord and by doing these things and by living like the world and by having the world standards.
Well, it's time to set that aside and open up our Bibles to the book of Galatians. Today's Bible study with Beth Seifert starts right now.
It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, we're in lesson 21 today of our study in the book of Galatians, and today we're going to be in chapter 5, verse 20, and I've titled this lesson, Idols, Hatred, and Discord. As we go through the next several days, what I'm really doing is breaking down each of these different things that Paul is describing as evidences of the flesh, of works of the flesh, and then we're going to break down the fruit of the Spirit and talk about them a little bit more in depth instead of just trying to kind of cover over them generally. So today we're going to be in chapter 5, verse 20. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open there. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. So we're moving forward in this list today. We're not going to cover all of these today. I'm going to split these up so that we can look at them closely. While these may not initially create the same ouch that yesterday's lesson did, I hope that if we're being honest with ourselves, we'll let God convict us on these as well, because in my opinion, and it's an opinion, but these are things that we should all be able to relate to and to see ourselves reflected in. So starting with idolatry and sorcery, I lumped these two together for a reason because I think they're really companions. Sorcery is idolatry, after all. You're placing your spells and incantations and, for today's Wiccans, the goddess before God. Anytime you put something in the place of God, you've created an idol. These are ways to access evil spiritual beings and at the same time rejecting God and refusing to worship Him. We are all created to worship something, and we will all serve something. We'll make an idol out of anything. Some people make work an idol. Some people make success an idol. Your children can be an idol, your marriage, your spouse. Pretty much anything that you pursue to fill you up and satisfy you is an idol. If I put so much of my hope into my children, then what happens when they fail me? What happens when they don't do something perfectly? My hopes have been shattered. Where do I go from here? In Paul's time, he used sorcery to directly refer to any real or pretended association with Satan, any effort to know the future by attempting to contact spirits, any effort to gain knowledge that God has purposely not given us by mystical means. The Bible even specifically mentions astrology as a form of witchcraft sorcery and as something that is sinful. The practice of sorcery, again, is the attempt to usurp God's power and place something else ahead of Him, usually ourselves and our own power. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, it spells this out clearly where God is giving the people His directions. And He says, "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or anyone who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations, which you are about to dispossess, listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this." So we need to be very careful about using anything and placing it in front of God. Idols can come in many shapes and sizes, those workaholics who make work their idol. But what happens when they don't get that promotion or they don't get the accolades that they want? When we put our hope in anything besides Christ, when those things fail us, and they will fail us, we are crushed and have no idea where to go. This is what leads to those people who, when their children don't live up to them to their standard perfectly or to doing whatever they wanted them to do, to reliving their own childhood. These are the people who then react with anger and with resentment and even sometimes with hatred toward their children. So we want to be careful and make sure that we are worshiping what it is appropriate to worship. And the only thing appropriate to worship is God. Hatred. Now, this isn't the "I hate Brussels sprouts" kind of hatred that Paul is talking about here. Although I do hate Brussels sprouts, and if you ever invite me over for dinner, please don't serve Brussels sprouts because I don't think I can even eat them to be polite. Paul is talking about hatred toward our fellow people, even our enemies. Remember, Jesus told us to pray for our enemies and to bless those who persecute us. If that's what we're to do, does hatred play any part in our lives? Remember, we are called to love. The whole law is summed up as love your neighbor as yourself, right? So hatred is the opposite of love. Is it a surprise that this would be on the list? Let's dig into this a little deeper. We're told in 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hating our brothers or sisters is in your heart murdering them. Now, I know several people who are so consumed with hatred that there is little to no joy left in their lives. Let me describe what that hatred of another person has done to the hater. Everything comes back to the one that they hate. No matter what goes wrong in their lives, it somehow is the person who they hate, it's their fault. I've even heard one of them say that they wish that the object of their hatred was dead. And let me tell you, this wasn't just something that you say. Clearly, the intent of murder was truly in this person's heart. And the result in the life of the person doing the hating? They're mean, bitter, depressed, downtrodden people who can see no way out of the despair they're in. Does that sound like fun to you? Let me tell you, it isn't fun to even be around them. I cannot imagine how hard it is to be them. Hatred is poison, ladies. We're told to love our enemies, to forgive those who sin against us, not merely for their benefit, but for ours. Remember, the measure you use for others is the measure that will be used for you. Where you withhold forgiveness from others, it will be withheld from you. Watch for those seeds of hatred. You may not be able to let it all go in one fell swoop, and that's okay. You may need time for God to work on your heart until you want to forgive that person, and then time for God to help you to actually forgive them, but he will help you. Trust me, I've been there, where for months I prayed that God would help me to want to forgive someone. And it was hard. There was a grieving process, but I knew it was necessary. And I approached it with the attitude that I knew it was going to hurt, but it also needed to happen. Also, notice we're always called to forgiveness, but we're not always called into reconciliation. You are called to forgive that person who abused you, but especially if there's no repentance on their part. That doesn't mean you need to be best friends with them. Okay, the last one for today. This one strikes close to home because I know that I have been guilty of this much in the past and probably still in the present, although I know that I'm much more aware of it when I do it today than I was even a decade ago. Discord. Discord covers more than just lack of peace. Discord is fighting. Discord is a lack of agreement and harmony. Things are not smooth when discord is occurring. Discord is lack of contentment. It's a series of what you perceive as disappointments that color your whole outlook to the point that everything is wrong. Here are some common things that you'll hear yourself say if you are in a state of discord. If only my children would behave so that I could fill in the blank. If only we had more money, then we could blank. If only I was still in love with my spouse, then I might blank. If only we had a bigger house, then I could blank. Do you see the common factor? It's the if-onlys. You can fill it in yourself with whatever your own personal if-only is. If you're waiting for an if-only or a one day before you experience joy or peace or contentment and are truly able to bloom where God has you planted without looking for the next thing, chances are you're in a state of discord. You might also notice a tendency of yours towards sarcasm and cynicism. Every glass is half empty. Every blessing could have been better. The good news is that you don't have to stay there. When we let go of our expectations and open ourselves up to where he has placed us and what he wants us to do, that sense of peace and contentment is ours, ladies. Suddenly, even that house that feels a bit cramped or cluttered, even that car that might give up at any moment, even that child who doesn't seem to hear you 80% of the time, all of those are his will. And when we relax and allow ourselves to be in his will and let him guide us and follow his precepts and do what he asks of us with a cheerful heart and a delighted attitude, you'll be amazed at the blessings you receive. I'm not saying plaster a smile on your face and pretend like everything is okay when it's not. But when we look at things and we're looking for the bad things instead of looking at things and asking God to give us grace for the moment, we're setting ourselves up for failure. It may not be the blessings that you so desperately want at this moment, but when you open your eyes to the blessings that he has given you, when you're truly able to recognize the rose growing in the asphalt, your desires will change to line up with his will for you. Remember, his will is to be done, not, here's my list, God, of the things that I want, now do it. That's the opposite of discord, I think, is contentment. We need to learn, as Paul expressed in his letter to Philippi, to be content in every circumstance, knowing we are where we are for God's purpose. When we are content, we will bloom wherever we are planted, and all of that will be for His glory forever and ever. Anger, I think, is the common binding thread between discord and hatred. Do you see what happens when you sin in your anger? We're told in Ephesians 4:26, "In your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." Anger isn't the problem, but when we let anger take control, these are some of the traps that we fall into. So my question for us today is this. Where do you see idols in your life? What are you putting in front of God? Where do you see strife? Can you see how your anger may have brought you to where you are? Ask God where there is an idol in your life that needs to be removed or changed to focus on Him. Ask Him where there is hatred and bitterness growing in your heart and catch that before it gets out of control. Ask Him where there is discord and discontent in your heart, and ask Him to help you to see why you have been planted where you are with what you have been given, and ask Him to help you to bloom as He desires right where you are. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, day 21, Idols, Hatred, Discord.
Well, ladies, that was our Bible study. And Nancy, this one, fantastic, I thought. And we're touching on all sorts of idols, talking about idolatry and sorcery and that kind of thing, and even our own hearts.
Yeah, stepping along a lot of toes, too, at the same time. It's interesting how she links sorcery and idolatry together.
Yeah.
And the thing that they have in common, if you will, is control. And we are really driven to try to control everything. That's why with idolatry in the days that Paul is talking about, they wanted gods they could control. They had made them with their own hands, and they could manipulate them. And if they did the right things and said the right things and bribed them, then they would get the right result. And then when you talk about sorcery, there's so much. And I actually have heard manipulation called sorcery or witchcraft before, because it's also an attempt to try to control people in subtle ways.
Well, and that comes right into the church sometimes. In fact, we're starting to see that more and more. We are attempting to control God. He's our genie now. He's our sugar daddy. Or we're trying to get some impartations. In fact, that reminds me, there's a very popular women's Bible teacher who recently exhibited, she posted this right on her Twitter feed, a picture of her hand on a Bible. And I'll read to you what she said. Her name is Christine Kane, and she writes, and she's got a picture, and the Bible has an inscription on it, and it says Joyce Meyer on it. And she writes, "The time I laid my own hand on Joyce Meyer's Bible and prayed for an impartation of a teaching gift." Now, folks, that is not biblical Christianity. And in fact, Christine has been posting many things like that recently. And so really, we want to watch that. We want to watch who we trust, who we follow, and make sure that we're talking about biblical Christianity. Make sure we're not trying to force Jesus into something that He is not.
And let's say that they took that from Elisha, wanting that double portion of the gift that Elijah had, and he took his mantle as he was being raised into heaven by the angels. That instance, it wasn't the mantle necessarily that gave Elisha the power, and he wasn't asking for the mantle from God. He was asking for the spirit that was in Elijah from God. So it, even though maybe the mantle did have some power that God had imbued it with, it was still God. It was all God. And you're not soaking some up just by choosing to touch something. You're getting it if God thinks that it is good for you to have it and that you will use it properly. You are getting it according to God's will.
Well, and we have the Holy Spirit now, so we don't have to get impartations of anything if the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. us. So very interesting what's going on in Christendom today. And again, ladies, we as women are so susceptible to things that sound good, that sounds like we can have power and control, when in fact it is all God. Mm. It's all Him, and we just need to trust in Him.
And let's go back to that whole idea of an idol. And she points out a lot of things: your work, your kids, your money, success. Yeah. All of these things can be idols. And we don't often realize what we are spending our time on. And whatever you are spending the most time on, whatever you're spending the most thinking on, what is occupying your thoughts most, that's your idol. And if it's not God, then you need to repent. And every one of us has something that maybe we obsess on or that we put in place of God in our lives for comfort, for satisfaction, for relaxation. Whatever it is, we're getting from it, and we should be getting those things from God.
And a little caution about that, because we all go through trials. We all go through things in our lives that are just horrible to go through, and they're a season, hopefully. Sometimes they're longer, it seems like forever, but as we go through them, just because we're thinking on them and taking them to God and finding our comfort in Him, but that trial occupies a lot of our thinking, doesn't necessarily make it an idol, but it can be, all right? So just to keep things in proper perspective.
One other thing that she points out here, just real quickly, we'll touch on, is hatred.
Yeah.
And that hatred, it can come from maybe an area where you've been wronged, you've been hurt, you've been tormented, something that has caused you to be eaten up inside with this bitterness and resentment. And you have become a perpetual victim, and that's become your identity, rather than a child of God whose rights are all owned by Him, and therefore you have no right to be offended.
Exactly. Entitlement is nowhere in our walk with God. All right. Well, we are going to leave it here. Before we send you on your way for the weekend, however, we would like to have one more chance at building you up with Scripture. And Nancy, I love how you close out every program with just a beautiful piece of Scripture that just seems to fit. So what did you find for today?
Well, I know Beth has referenced this verse in Ephesians chapter 4 about being angry and do not sin. Mm-hmm. So we're going to read the whole context around that, starting at verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of the another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
I can't think of a better verse to go into the weekend with. So, ladies, I hope you enjoyed that. And remember, don't let a few days go by just because it's the weekend without being in the Word. That is our sustenance and our life in Christ as we get to know Him better. All right. Well, you have a beautiful weekend in the Lord. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.